Hello and welcome to another Woodshop Podcast with Mike Coffey of Coffey Custom Builds, Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks, and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find us all, as well as the podcast, on Instagram and YouTube.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 154 of another Woodshop Podcast, where this week we are joined by the undisputed cutting board king of Bagel County. And yes, that means we brought another Jersey guy in a podcast. When he's not in his shop making handmade goods, he's out camping, overlanding, or trying to convince people that Central Jersey's a thing. Justin Bailey is here. What's up, Justin?
Coming at you from the Central Jersey Shore. How are you?
It's not a thing.
I do not understand that reference.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle, except everyone there is a liar.
We exist.
Anyway, I still don't get it.
So, Dan, there are some people out there that are not liars and are very committed to this podcast, unlike Justin. And who are those people?
Well, let me tell you. There are patrons. We enjoy all our patrons, but we want to give a special shout out to all our VIP patrons. They are, what do we call them? Generals in the Met Army. And those people are Alexander Copajohns, Bill Burkle, Daniel Bryson, Jacob Miller from A Sweet Shop, Justin from Calvary Customs, Kristen Tung, Malcolm at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Matt Maynard from Patriotic Pines, Max and Mindy Coons of Stubby K Studio, Michael Flickinger, Mike Lydon, Square Splinter, and Steve Iadarola. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you guys for being top tier patrons. And Justin, thank you for being one of the tier patrons. We appreciate
it. Is he a patron?
He's $5.
I was one of the first.
He's the OG. Yeah. He's one in for the long haul. He's like, I'm going to go for the middle and then just coast.
It's quantity.
They'll never forget me.
It's quantity, not quality.
Just goes to show you, if you're a patron long enough, you might end up on a podcast. That's not how this works. Kidding.
ladies and gentlemen, they had no idea I was a patron until 5 minutes ago.
This is true.
And we're laughing. What we're not laughing about, guys, is something I want to talk about. Very near and dear to my heart. Before we get to Justin, our important guest, I want to talk about this clearly silly thing that I'm going to bring up now. Tomorrow is, if you're listening to this, 3 days ago is Arbor Day. So Arbor Day is very near and dear to my heart because it's the day that's right, you should go to your table saws, miter saws, and track saws, clean your blades, take those blades off the arbor. I know it's a silly connection, but that's what I always do is I always think of like Arbor Day, like I need to take the thing off the arbor, clean it, because we all talk about cleaning blades, but none of us actually do. So this is your friendly reminder. Go clean your blades one time this year. Make a reel. I'm going to know everyone that does it next week when I see videos of people cleaning blades and put it back on arbor and then check if your arbor wobbles.
Fun fact, you brought this up in the pre-show.
I did.
And I didn't drop this fun fact of information in the pre-show.
I hope this is fun.
And I bring this up every year. So I'm surprised you don't know this. Arbor Day was founded in Nebraska.
It was. I do remember you bringing that up in the past.
Yes, and I will never let that die because I don't have many claims to fame and I need something.
Snapple fact 275 that no one asked for. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah. I got to say, though, Dan, you have a lot of like fun facts that are like Nebraska adjacent. There's always like a story or something. More than me and Mike. Like all I have is like Jersey and it's like whatever. It's like
fun fact, Jersey smells.
I mean, that's yeah.
It's not even a fun fact. It's just a fact.
Nothing fun about that.
I do feel the need to defend myself, though. My blades are spit shine clean. You can see yourself.
Well, maybe start using your blades.
I only cut pine.
Speaking of cutting pine.
Fun fact, don't spit on your blades.
Don't. It'll set off the cartridge if you have a saw stop. So, Justin, give us the elevator pitch. Who are you? Why do we love you? And what do you do? And what makes you amazing? We know, but tell the people that are listening.
Oh, well, I am Justin Bailey with Campfire Woodworks. Let's see. I've been I've been doing this since, what, 2018? So not very long. About as long as you have, Pete, right?
All like, of us?
Yeah. I think we started around the same time.
We're OGs.
OG woodworkers. Been doing this since 2018, before woodworking was
cool. That's what qualifies as an OG?
Before
it was cool. Instagram world.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we all started, I started earlier. Dan started before, like, the
you were born, the
recession.
Mostly.
I don't know.
He was looking,
Dan was working for 20 years before, like I don't know,
he was working,
2000 hit.
He was working the sawmill in the Great Depression. We know, Dan.
I really was.
By hand. By
hand. Hand tools only.
You had to pedal it.
Oh, God.
So you've been doing this since 2018, same as me?
Yeah, I make mostly, like, we'll call them elevated kitchen products and things. So, you know, cutting boards, serving trays. I have a couple of tostones and
I'm not going to say
was that
anything
Italian?
To Scott Holland, who's Elevated Woodco.
Oh, sorry.
His name's taken, so you can't say elevated.
Sorry. Yeah. Not elevated. Bespoke. We'll call them bespoke wood products for the home and kitchen.
Bespoke Woodworks is gonna get you.
Let me tell you how hard it was finding a name that I could actually register.
Oh yeah,
I gotta say though I think that describes your stuff really well, because everything you make has a very, like, you know, say bespoke or say like high quality or high end feel to it, whilst it's still, well, it being woodworking and stuff. But like everything you make has either, you know, really nice high grade walnut, brass, some kind of other element to it that makes it like, it makes it the thing that a lot of people make plus.
Yeah.
Like it makes it a little better. So I do appreciate
just that. A little bit higher than everybody else.
A little bit.
Slightly gooder than other people.
I want you to buy my products and then decide that you don't want to use them because they're too pretty.
Oh, that's
my, and then you like, can
pet peeve with cutting boards. People buy them and they just leave them out.
Oh, I hate
then you sell it. Them on. Commissioning a shadow box.
Yeah, the shadow boxes. I should have
the cutting boards.
I should have mentioned that those shadow boxes and display cases have been my bread and butter the last couple of years, and that was never the intention of going in that direction. But I got. We'll talk about it on the that segment where you talk about things that are on your table.
What's on my table?
Yeah,
call it a bench.
I got a few of those going on right now in the shop.
And so, did you have a shop right away out of the gate? Like, how did? Tell, ooh, what's your origin story?
Origin story.
What vat of acid did you fall into?
I think I have a pretty common origin story. So we moved from Queens. We were city folk, and we bought this house in Jersey. Early 2018. It came with a garage, and I hadn't had a garage in like 15 years since I was a child. So I was like, cool.
Because
New York. Yeah. What do you do? And
a garage in New York could be three bodegas and an apartment.
I mean, also, a garage in New York costs more than the mortgage in most states, so we didn't have a garage. And then we bought this house. It came with a 1.5-car garage. It was the original intention was to clean it out and do like a man cave gaming like area, all that stuff. I bought the typical sack of, like, you know, the Ryobi tool sack where you get all the drills and the batteries and all that. And I was like,
the blue sack.
Nothing says quality like this came in a sack.
Exactly. And I was like, honey, I am going to be our hero. I'm going to do all the repairs on the house myself. I'm going to fix everything. We're never going to call a contractor. And that sack of Ryobi tools turned into a shop that I can no longer fit tools in. So it's kind of the origin story. Yeah, I built a cutting board for our house. And then I had a bunch of friends and family reach out. They're like, oh, that's really nice. Can you make me one? And then one thing led to another. And then I had an Etsy shop and a website. And the couch and the TV left the garage, came back inside. And here we are.
Nice, dude.
Shop dreams.
And you're
with
still
Justin Bailey. Welcome.
Full-time working at your job and then doing this on a side.
I am working Monday through Friday, mostly 9 to 5, full-time at my job, doing dinner, and then heading into the shop until almost midnight every night and on the weekends. So yeah, I have two full-time jobs now.
Yeah.
That's basically how that works.
That's how that works. Yeah.
I mean, isn't it the same like woodworking? Like I'll do it myself. It'll take me twice as long and cost twice as much, but at least it'll be mine. Right. Like,
right.
Yeah. I actually got to start saying, anytime somebody asks me about like woodworking commissions, I like give them my price and like, whoa. And I'm like, it's my third job. And they're like, what? Like, yeah, because I run a 3D printing shop. I have a business. And then woodworking is like, that's not like when people think of like Petrie's Workshop, but the LLC is a small scale manufacturing company. Mm-hmm. It does 3D printing. The laser and CNC is kind of incorporated in that. But the wood shop's not really the core of that business.
Well, then the next question is, since this isn't your full-time job, can I get a discount? Yeah.
Get out of here. Are you, by the way, are you at this point like offering customers the as what we lovably call the FU price?
Oh, all like, the time.
Are you, right?
All the time.
And you've already fell into, so talk about that a little bit. Like, how did you make the transition from like trying to grab every little business you can to start throwing FU prices and still not being able to keep up?
Mistakes. A lot. It took a lot of mistakes to get here, man. I think it started with taking on, it's the when they dangle the carrot in front of you, right? With the dollar signs, it starts with that and you go, you know what? Oh, I could really use that like $300. I could really use it $700. That'll buy me a new tool. And you take on the job because like, if you don't take it, then you're going to lose it. And if you lose it, maybe you won't get it again. And then you take on that job and that $600 job ends up costing you $1,200 to do. And you make that mistake over and over and over again. And so I've learned now that.
Preach.
Yeah. If I don't really, really need it, and honestly, even if I really need it, I'm gonna give you a price that makes sense for the time I'm gonna spend on that project. Yeah. And if you don't like it, you can find someone else. They can do it cheaper.
Not just the time you're gonna spend on it, but the time you've spent learning how to do said project. And
I think that's the key there.
So that was the key transition that I made was I stopped taking on projects because I was saying to myself, oh, I'll do this for this price because it'll be a learning experience for me. There's value in learning how to do this. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't have to charge them what I would normally charge them because I'm still learning. And that was BS. Even if I have no idea what I'm doing, I'm going to charge you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on.
And I'll pretend.
Yeah, I mean, Dan feels that. That's why he's not taking on big commissions right now. Cause sometimes you get really deep into those jobs and it's like, I way too many hours on this.
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
I did a few of those that just weren't, at the end of the day, they weren't worth it. So,
I mean, Justin, you of all people know, like a cutting board, like if you just do a cutting board, takes so long, you're almost better off doing four cutting boards because it's slightly more time.
And I've stopped doing the custom commission cutting boards because it's just not where I'm taking a page from your book, Pete, and I'm starting to do five, six, seven at a time ahead of time.
Ooh. And they'll make to sell, don't sell to make.
Yeah. As I have, when I have scraps or leftovers or I have some free time, I'll do like three or four, put them on the website. If they're there, they're there. If they're not, I'm done doing the onesies and twosies, I think.
Yeah.
It is really difficult because like doing one cutting board is just a ton of time. And we're not talking about like, you know, edge jointing a couple of face grain boards. We're talking like fully ripping it up, making like a butcher block or end grain, or even just straight, you know, like ripping up strips and gluing them up, getting the grain right, getting all that done, sanding, routing, sanding, 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 and then maybe developing some custom feed for it. But we'll talk about that when we get.
Well, I have 5 end grain boards in clamps right now in my shop, and the time it took me to do that is the same time it would take me to do one.
Basically, yeah. So.
I mean, at the same time, but same night, you know, like what I can spend one night in the shop getting one board in clamps, or I can spend one night in the shop getting 5 boards in clamps.
Yeah.
According to my math, that's more.
That's more.
That's at least twice as many.
Yeah.
If not gooder.
It's gooder.
Dan, do you have any questions? Because I feel like I'm just hitting him with questions.
Thank you for throwing me under the bus.
No, I want. Fine.
Well, we haven't got to it yet, and I wanted to talk to him about you hinted at it, the custom cutting board feed.
So that's one of the questions we have. So let's leave it. Let's leave it for that part. We'll play the question. I think that's from Kamadi at that. It's Kamadi. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is like, are you taking on large commissions now, or are you pretty much just kind of like keeping to your website?
I
didn't work like that.
The bulk of my income last year was in large commissions, and I've worked with
Oh, it was? Okay. Yeah. So you're not just doing like the repetitive.
No. But
what would you call a large commission?
So I've been working in your shop. I've been working with a few. So here's the thing: large commission in terms of volume, not in terms of like size of the actual project itself. Mm. So
see,
I'm not doing not doing tables or desks and things. I don't have the space. I would love to do a 20-foot long conference table. Just my shop is 27 feet long, so I'm not sure that's actually going to go if I would try and make one. But I'm doing large commissions where I have a few restaurant clients that are ordering 65 of something, you know, and that's
well, that's awesome.
These are big projects.
You could do 65 in one night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
One or 65.
You just need more clamps, Justin. Time.
Yeah.
You just need more clamps.
Well, we're not.
The reason I'm
Go ahead. No, I'm saying we're not talking cutting boards too. We're talking, you know, custom. Serving things for specific dishes that require inlays and weird cuts and joinery and that type of stuff. So,
and the reason I'm grilling you on all this is because I think honestly, for the majority of our listeners, they're kind of more in the, and this is like no dig at Dan and Mike, but they're, most of them are in our caliber, like me and you, where like we're doing these, like when it's a big job, it's a bulk order of blank or something. You know, we're doing a lot of that because most of our listeners are still doing their full-time jobs and they're working in their shop as well. So it's really nice to hear someone that's like doing it successfully, doing really high-end stuff. You're basically like, you're doing what like Coffee was doing before he started doing tables. Like when he was at his old shop, he was knocking all these Farco boards and like all these small projects. And then, you know, now he's obviously outgrown that, but like you're still like very, could be potentially very lucrative. And still, you're not killing yourself in a shop.
Well, I think it's really important to kind of look at your shop and look what you have the capacity to do, and then find the clients for that. Because I could spend all day long looking for clients that want me to build a table, but at the end of the day, I can only do one table a month in my shop. But I could get six restaurant clients and do 500 cutting boards in a month. That's a much better that's a much better commission than doing that table. You know what? Maybe maybe one day I'll have a 60x40 shop and I'll be doing 10 tables a month.
But would you just move out here by me already?
I'm working on it. It's gonna be a while.
You could be neighbors with Keith. We could all be friends.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. All right.
I'll be in real Jersey.
Nobody ever wants to move to Nebraska. I don't get it. It's great.
Dan, you have like a squad that gained up on me in a pre-show. I don't want to hear it. Okay. Yes.
Eight Nebraskans in the pre-show.
Yeah. Corn-fed good old boys from Nebraska all gained up on me about my bad driving.
I was trying to burn Dan,
and then all came at me. Ugh, the worst. Anyways, speaking of bad drivers, we should get into a little segment that we call. I'm going to turn up the volume when I play it.
What's on my bench?
There it is. Since that's Dan's voice, Justin, what's on your bench?
Ouch. I wasn't prepared for that one. Okay. Couple things. I said before, I have like five boards and clamps right now. I have two projects going on right now. Latest project, and can I rant for a second about what's on my bench?
Yes, please.
I'm going to rant.
No more than 2 minutes.
Thanks. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, right? I have a customer right now that wants me to build a custom, actually, just talking about how I don't do this, a custom piece of furniture. And it's not very expensive because they're gonna upholster it and cover it. So like it's really just the frame of this thing that I'm building. And she's been messaging me on Instagram. And if you look at our chat, there's like 700 messages back and forth where like they're trying to decide like, oh, should it be in walnut or maple? Or how much will it be with this? Or how much will it be? What if I change
this? If you're just building the frame, why does it need to be walnut?
I don't know. I don't know, but. At the end of the day, I took on the commission because it's a relatively easy build, and I'm not even doing the legs for it because I don't have a lathe in my shop, so I'm not turning the legs. I'm just buying legs for it, building a square around the legs, and then shipping it out. So
So lathy.
I went ahead and took the commission, but it's always the clients that have the tightest budget. And I have cutting boards that cost more than this project and asking me 7 million questions about it and having a hard time deciding like what to do or what. And I shouldn't have given
we talk about this so much on here.
I should have told her I only have walnut, either walnut or find someone else. But we went back and forth.
That is a universal truth in my in my
That's why coffee's so successful, because he's made it into the clientele of like invoices paid.
Yeah.
Like they just don't even like they don't initial designs done, cool. Invoices.
Even paid. in the photography world and the furniture world, you know, the cheaper the client, the more they want to have a say in things and the more like demanding they are. It's weird how that works.
It is.
It really is. But it might just be because, you know, they want to know that their money's going to something that, you know, that's quality or something. You know, they don't have the free funds to just throw around like somebody else would. So, you know, they're just more contingent.
I wish they wouldn't.
Can I say contingent here?
Yeah.
On where their funds go?
I think. Maybe.
I don't know.
I just wish they tug at my heartstrings.
I just wanted to throw in the word contingent.
those contingent customers, those customers, they're trying to get every dollar out of.
Yes.
They're trying to get every dollar's worth out of what they're paying for.
Absolutely.
Whereas the other customers are paying you to not have to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's customers that they're paying you to, and they're ensuring that you know exactly what they want, and they're controlling every part of it. The customer you want is a customer that's paying you because their time is too important to go and deal with all the BS. Like, I've seen your work. I trust you. Here's the invoice. Deliver it in 6 weeks. That's all I care about.
Those customers tend to be the happiest in the end. I've noticed the people that are willing to just write me a check and say, you know what? Here's broad parameters. Stick within this and I'll see you in 5 weeks when you deliver it. And they get it and they go, this is fantastic. Thank you. They're always the happiest. The ones that ask me 7,000 questions before I start the build are usually the ones that go, I'm not really sure about this anymore. Is it too late to change it? I'm like, yeah, it's glued up. Yeah, it's
you got Rubio.
It's a little late. I did that. And like you, Pete, I have a fresh AC in my shop now. So
I didn't install mine yet.
Oh, well.
I have it in my shop.
Slacking.
But it's not hooked up yet.
Does it get hot in the East Coast?
Oh. Yeah.
Thought it was cold all the time in Jersey.
No. Oof.
No?
It gets
weird.
August is the worst month
Canada.
On the planet.
But it's a wet heat, you know.
That didn't sound good.
So we have...
It's moist.
I've had this crappy... You know those portable AC units where you put the tubes in the windows?
Oh,
I've had that in my shop for, 3 years now? And I've never... In the summertime, when it's really hot, I've never managed to get the shop below 80 degrees.
You can't.
And the humidity, I mean, and it's only cool right in front of the AC unit. As soon as you walk to either end, even with the fans going.
You
gotta
drain the bucket. You gotta still vent it out the window.
It's so bad. It was so bad. So I couldn't, because it's a garage shop and I don't have real windows in my shop. They're those really slim, thin sliding windows. I couldn't find an AC unit that would fit in the window. I could not find a window unit. So I decided to take the entire window and window frame out of the garage and then build a temporary thin frame around it. And I got a 12,000 BTU window unit, took like the window sleeves off of it, built the frame around that, stuck that in the window. And I have a temporary plexiglass double pane window in there now. And honestly, it hasn't been that hot yet. So I don't know how it's going to perform, but already the shop is significantly drier and significantly cooler than it's usually this time of year. So we'll see how that pays off.
Did you insulate your shop yet?
It's cinder blocks. So like the wall cinder blocks and the ceiling has insulation. I don't know how much it does. I feel like it doesn't do anything. If anything, it traps all the heat in.
Dude, the blown in insulation I did in my shop. If anyone has any questions about it, call me on Instagram or message me on Instagram. It's the best investment ever. It cost me like $300 in insulation. Because what you do is sorry to cut you off.
But like, did you blow it yourself?
I did. But what I did is if you buy it in bulk, if you get 20 or 30 bushels, whatever the hell, bundles.
It comes in bags, right? Blown
insulation. If you get a certain amount, the rental is free for 24 hours. And then you can return whatever you don't use at the same whatever cost. And you can do a will call at Home Depot. So if you have a smaller car, you could just make a couple trips and pick it all up. So like I ended up buying 30. I used 18 and I returned 12 and I got the return back at the same rate. It's not like I had to pay for the rental because I didn't hit the whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, just so, little thoughts. So like, it ended up being really cheap.
It's like a basically a reverse vacuum, right? You stick the insulation in the hopper.
That's what a blower is, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. You knock a little hole in your wall and you just shoot the stuff between the studs.
Basically, I drilled a hole every 16 inches into my walls. So they're still there. I call them speed holes, like on a golf ball. Because like it's annoying to, like, how are you going to patch round holes in a, like, I have the pucks. Some of them fell through the wall, but I have most of them. But then I still have to, like, drywall a thing over in front of it, sand it. I just, like,
yeah, if only you had tools. I mean.
Yeah, right?
I don't like
if drywall. If only you had a machine that could make perfect circles.
We've gone over this on this podcast. I don't like drywall, okay? Although I'm dreading this summer because I have to make drywall.
Make walnut plugs with your CNC.
Honestly, I have thought about literally running, like, wood on, like, the top foot of the garage all the way around, like a little...
No, you got the...
Well, there you go.
Like the crown laser molding. Now. You got to do acrylic plugs so you can still see through.
Yeah, but it's not about the plugs. I have the plugs. It's the... How to attach it to the... Whatever. We got off track.
Glue.
You're working on... Star Bonds. Took out a commission, AC, go.
Commission, AC. I got a few boards on the table. And honestly, I've had some downtime the last couple of weeks, and so it's been sprinkling. I got rid of... All of, and I know there's folks out there that pride themselves on, like, every cabinet, everything in my shop is, like, shop made. I don't care. I went to Lowe's. I picked up a bunch of those, the Stanley 5-drawer rolling cabinets. Ooh. And I replaced all the lower cabinets in my shop of those things. $160, stainless steel, 5 nice drawers. They had, like, 100-pound capacity. So I got rid of all of my original shop made cabinets and drawers. And so I've been on a cleaning spree the last couple of weeks, just getting everything organized. My mission this summer is the end of the summer with nothing on any horizontal surfaces that's loose.
What was the reason to get rid of your old furniture, your old shop furniture, and up and switch it out with the Lowe's stuff?
Efficiency. I think because everything is built out of 1/2-inch and 3/4-inch ply. And so, like, the same amount of space for shop built stuff, I can fit more in those cheap Stanley drawers than I can with, like, the wooden drawers with my slides. You know, if I built a 22-inch wide cabinet, you take away another 1.5 inches because of the plywood, and then another 1/2 inch each side for the drawer slides, and then another 3/4 inch for the drawer. And so it's just a much smaller space than it would be if I just went and bought them.
And most tools aren't that tall. Plus, we put them in like deep drawers.
Yeah.
Plus, the stuff layers.
There's a bit of a vanity aspect to it. It's why all my tools are Laguna, because everything's black in my shop now. And so.
Whoa.
I pulled out the shop race card. I know.
you just like to have everything kind of match, right?
Everything. I'm so vain. I come from the cycling world, so everything has to match. We're vain like that.
Okay.
You're getting off track. Get it?
Okay.
I'm a felt guy. All my bikes are felt. So
get out of here. I don't know what that means. I thought, like, adding drama that
I don't
would be good.
So I learned something today about Justin, and I don't trust him with anything anymore.
Because he's from Jersey.
Whether it's bikes or wood choices or whatever. Like, he prefers Miracle Whip over mayo.
I have a secret, actually. I don't like either. I've never had Miracle Whip before in my life.
Oh, you son of a... I was
so
ready to, like,
I just buy a... Dukes?
I was just counting...
I got Dukes.
I was chatting. Yeah, I was counting on you turning red. I know I couldn't see it, but I
felt... Oh, I was livid.
I felt it. So the more I talked about Miracle Whip, the madder I knew you were getting.
I get my mayo a coming. thank you.
We had a text chain going, and we were talking about mayo for some reason, and Justin dropped the
mayo. It was because someone posted a
video. Someone dropped the Miracle Whip is greater than mayo, and I was like, hold up.
Someone dropped a TikTok video in the chat of a guy dipping Twizzlers in a jar of mayo at a baseball game.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, what? That's a whole new. It's in the chat.
Just, you'll see it.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry.
So that's it on my bed. Pete, you're up. Is that how this
Good
works?
Good job, Justin.
Did I do it right?
Wow. Very well done.
Someone did listen to the show.
Surprise.
Here's where I act panicked. Okay. Let me think of my week. Like, I didn't write it out for once. So what have I been working on? Oh, More landscaping, because 'tis the season. So there's nothing I hate more than sweating my slip-ons off. I wear a lot of slip-on shoes. Doing landscaping in the summer, or when it gets hot, or like trying to plant or put trees in or dig holes, it's just so freaking hot and humid. So right now it's perfect weather. Justin knows because he's in Jersey. It's 50 degrees every day. It's beautiful. Overcast. The sun's not out. Occasionally it's out. It's nice for, it's good for your mental health, but it's just been really cool weather and it's been really nice to do some landscaping. So I built a garden bed or a plant bed box right next to our deck. And we're going to be adding some of that like lattice structure, that like the X pattern, whatever that we got. I got at Home Depot half off because it was damaged on a corner.
You just got to ask.
You got to ask. Yeah. No, it definitely pays off. Also, damaged bags of mulch and whatever, they'll give you a discount on that as well.
Floor model toolboxes. I'm telling you, they will.
Really?
Yeah. You got to ask for the manager. I've done this.
Okay.
You can negotiate.
We got a screen door that was like returned. And we got it for $20. It was $120 screen door. We got it for $20 because it didn't have anything, whatever. But the measurements were right. We're like, can we have this one? He's like, yeah, I got you. And he like puts $20 on it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
This is illegal.
Anything floor model, if you find a little damaged corner on it, you can negotiate the price. Because they're just going to, they put it in the dumpster anyway. I don't know this for a fact. I'm assuming it just goes in the dumpster.
It doesn't hurt to ask. Like I said in my thing. Like, just ask because you never know when something's good. I mean, honestly, we could probably ask for like, listen, this 2x4 is like bent like a banana. You're not going to sell it.
I mean,
look,
just give it to me.
We've said this before. If you never ask, the answer is always no.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So aside from landscaping, I'm dialing in my laser. So, because I have that new lens kit for my EX. And I'm very excited. Something new is coming to the shop for the laser specifically in the next couple of weeks. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. I'm so stoked because it's going to be a nice little upgrade for the laser. But dialing stuff in, I finished up most of that laser job that I was doing for the 3/4 or 3/8 inch laser cutting. I just need to finish it up because I got the last sample to make sure that the fit is just right. Print shop got an upgrade. We got a new table in there. I bought another one of those like Husky sit stand desks that you like can crank it to whatever height.
Love those.
With the two drawers. Love that thing. And it fits right in the center of my shop. Thank you, Bethany, for giving me the idea because she has her like sewing studio with that island in the center. And having this thing in the center of the shop is so nice. And because of that, I started recording my video. I actually picked up my camera, set up all the gear, and I did an unboxing video and talk about basically the bamboo X1 carbon printer versus the Prusas. And we're going to be talking about like the future of the farm, of the print farm and all that. And a huge shout out to Jeff from Two Moose, who pushed me to do a video. And it's been so long, I like fell out of the groove and he really pushed me to do it. Wrote up my script, started shooting a video. And Adam Barnett, who were being accountability buddies, keeping each other accountable for actually recording, editing, and getting this video out by the 15th of May. So hold me to that, everyone. So I unboxed X1 Carbon, recording a video. It's not done yet. I still got to do some more tests and some more talking head stuff. And I started editing. So it's really exciting. But Dan, what's going on with you?
I am doing the same old, same old, same old. Everybody knows what I'm going to say at this point.
Say it with me.
Etsy. Yay. Etsy's keeping me busy as always. Thankful for Etsy. However, I have been working on some new things.
You're caught up in orders, though.
Fairly. I mean, there's only 23 orders in my queue right now. Right now, that's caught up.
But are you overdue on any? Because didn't you get caught up?
One overdue for one of those slide tables.
So dude, that's better than it was like a couple weeks ago. So nice job.
Much, much better.
You caught up. Yeah. I
might have my star seller back sometime in July. We'll see.
Everyone, start sending Dan messages so he misses them.
Oh, I still don't have my star seller. I need unsolicited messages to, or unsolicited, whatever. I need messages
contingent.
Contingent messages. To my Etsy shop. I'm at 93%. Yeah.
Same.
Please send me a message.
I'm going to make that same call.
Send all of us a message. It'll help us all.
Don't send me messages. I get a lot of messages. I don't need messages. Please don't send me messages.
Like 92.7. It's the messages. Right,
Justin and me.
So that's what I've been doing. So, like I said, I've been trying to work on an Adirondack chair. So this is what I did, and I'm not proud of it, but it worked. So April Wilkerson has this really great, like, Adirondack / beach chair that kind of fits inside of itself. And she's got plans that you can buy. But with the plans, it comes with a physical paper template you can print out and then tape it together, and you have like this normal size template that you can then put down to your piece of wood and cut it out with your router and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. I have a CNC. I am a lazy POS. So I bought her plans. I put the template together with the paper and everything. And then I took measurements off of that and, you know, arcs and everything. And I tried to make my own CNC cut files for it. So I'm going to try to put that together tomorrow or sometime this weekend. See how that goes.
Dan, you stole my idea.
Have you thought about doing that?
I'm currently working on the exact same thing with Jackman's plans.
they have two different Adirondack chairs.
I'm waiting for you guys to launch your plants so I can use yours.
Well, I'm not going to resell them. I'm using it for myself.
No, I'm not going to resell them either. I just wanted my own CNC files.
I'm going to send the SVG and the DFX files to him when I'm done with them so he can have them.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't offer that. Maybe because they don't want other people like making them in mass. I don't know.
CNC is not woodworking. Just
is that it? That might be it.
I checked
Jackman's plans. He doesn't have the type of chair that I was looking for, so I bought one from April. Anyway, yeah, I've been doing that. Been working on some other like new items to list in my store. I just listed a new C table version. I made it a couple weeks ago, but I finally kind of tweaked it and got some finished pictures. I just listed it today. So not good.
Okay.
No sales yet. Just listed it today, like 4 or 5 hours ago. And speaking of today and my day going to hell, off topic, I curb rashed my brand new rims. Ooh. I'm very upset. It ruined my whole day. I'm so angry. Anyway, if anybody's got any tips on how to fix a curb rashed rim, I will take those messages. But that's basically it. Still not drinking, but that's going to be rectified. That's going to be rectified this weekend, so don't be proud of me. I'm drinking this weekend.
Congratulations.
My brother and sister turned 40, and I'm going to celebrate with them. Anyway.
I'm proud of you. Dan, no, I'm going to pause. Wow. I'm really freaking proud of you.
It feels weird when people tell me they're proud of me for this, dude, because it was never a long-term, like,
as someone thing. that we're both celebrated drinkers. We like having a drink.
Oh, yeah.
We work hard so that at the end of the day we can have a drink. And like, yeah, I know what it's like hard. To like, hey, Paco. So like, it's I've been in the same situation. Like I've actually cut back on drinking the last month as well. So dude, I know what it's like. Proud of you. Just
it wasn't that hard, to be honest, but I do miss it.
You replace it with food.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been replacing it with food. You know, when I started doing
this, about pre-show.
People were telling me, oh, you're gonna lose weight. No,
it's chips and sausages.
Oh my god. For dinner last week I had a whole medium pizza, so
big old bowl of hot dogs. <It's>
not, yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. All right, well, why don't we get into our questions? Great, what's on a bench this week? All right, so first one is from Patrick Gensel. Patrick G.
Oh, I know him.
Hey, guys, hope you're all doing well. Patrick Gensel here. First question is for Justin specifically. Knowing that you are an overland, off-roading, and travel fan, first of all, what is your next adventure-related trip? And second of all, if you could have any off-road overlanding vehicle, what would be your ideal setup? Second question is for everyone. So I've been thinking about reels more and content more, and what does everybody find to be the most effective time for posting their reels on Instagram? I seem like I'm doing better in the afternoon than the typical recommended early morning, lunchtime time slot. So I'm just wondering how everybody else feels about this and where you guys seem like you perform the best. All right. Hope you guys have a great night, great show, and I will talk to you all soon.
Justin, you first. Obviously.
This is a fun one. So little backstory for those folks that don't know this about me. I'm an avid adventurer and traveler, backpacker, camper. Hence the name Campfire Woodworks. My wife and I actually met because we both ran an outdoor adventure club when we were in college. And I am a licensed guide and a wilderness first responder and all that fun stuff. And I teach that stuff.
You legit.
I write and test for Backpacker Magazine, REI, and all these places. That's my life outside of woodworking is pretty fun. I hate this stuff, honestly.
Knock it off.
Anyway, so we have, and also for those of you who don't know, I have my first child is on the way, due sometime in June. Yeah, I know, right? Just weird flex, but I reproduced, so that's cool.
Good job.
Thank you.
Everything works.
Everything works as far as
weird flex. Everything works
as far as I know. So we're heading down to North Carolina to the Outer Banks in September, and
ooh, fun.
If you don't know about it with the newborn, and if you don't know about it, there's a beach called Cape Lookout, and it's part of the National Seashore. It's a national park. It's part of the National Seashores, and the only way of getting to Cape Lookout is by a ferry that can only hold 6 cars at a time, and it's a 23-mile stretch of uninhabited shoreline along the coast of North Carolina. And so you load up your truck, they drop you off on the other side, and basically you can stay out there as long as you want and camp wherever you want, and you have the entire 23 miles of coastline to yourself. And so
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, we're headed out there in September with a few other
friends. I have a new bucket list for me and my trail boss.
Yeah, I don't think the trailer, I know you're a luxury camper, so I don't think that camper will fit, but you can get the trail boss.
It's 6 cars or 1 trail boss and a camper.
Well, it's 2 cars. It's 2 rows of 3 cars. So we're headed there. And then after that, we don't know. We're going to try and stay on the road for a month and basically take us where the wind blows. That's the next adventure.
So 6 rows of 3 cars.
No,
is there like 2 rows of 3 cars? That's all it holds.
Right. That's what I said. I don't know what you heard. Anyway, did you have to like did you have to book that like months and months in advance?
Or yeah.
Is it? First come, first serve? What is that?
It's first come, first serve, but you have to book it months in advance. Well, we're going Labor Day weekend, so we had to book that really early. Non-holiday weeks, you could probably get away with booking it a week out.
Oh, interesting. Is it just something that – see, I'm really interested in this. I really want to do something like this. Is it something that just runs back and forth all day?
All day. So it's about a 45-minute – each direction. So an hour and a half round trip on the ferry. So basically every hour and a half, the ferry is bringing people over and taking people back.
Oh, interesting.
But you have to book it ahead of time because it's scheduled, right? And so like if you say you are going to come back from the island at 2:30 in the afternoon, you better be in that 2:30 ferry because the 4 o'clock ferry might be full. And so you're stuck until there's an opening.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Outer Banks. Love it. I shot a wedding there in 2012 in Kill Devil Hills.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
So beautiful out there. And then there's another.
I've heard of it. I'm going to do some research.
It's not Cape Lookout. It's the one next to it. I can't remember the name of the other island, but there's wild horses on the island next to it. Similar situation. It's an uninhabited island. It used to be like a old-timey 1800s town, and now it's abandoned. It's part of the national park system, and there's wild horses that kind of roam around on that island.
Nice.
Anyway, overland vehicle. If I could have anything, it would just be a completely decked up Tundra. Tundra TRD Pro with a rooftop tent, 37s.
Tundras are awesome. I'm kidding.
I put
the brand new Sprinter full build out.
I would put Icon Stage 5 suspension on it, a winch, nice bumper, some lights, and then that'll be it. I don't like the fully decked out crazy vehicles where people are attaching every possible accessory they can to the outside. The
kind that looks like it could be driven through a tornado.
Well, you don't want to attach a bunch of Trek boards to the outside for traction?
I have Trek boards attached to the outside of my Jeep. That's besides the point.
And then, okay, so that'll answer the other question. What do you find to be the best time to post on IG?
See, here, it keeps, I don't know about you guys, it keeps changing for me. It used to be between 11 and 1 o'clock when I like when I was at, when I was between 16 and 30,000-ish followers, it was between 11 and 1. And then it changed and like 5 o'clock was my sweet spot. And now, mostly because I haven't had time and I haven't posted yet today either, I've been posting between like 10:30 and 12 midnight. And I've been waking up to 16, 15, 20,000 views. So I have no idea now.
Yeah, that's my answer. It's a crapshoot. Nobody knows. I quit posting on a schedule years ago. I post whenever I have the file ready or the video or whatever, and just I don't even worry about it. It's not worth it. It's not worth the headache.
Yeah,
I mean, it's either going to do good or it's going to do bad. It's all on the whim of however Zuckerberg's feeling that day, I guess. So,
I think years ago we were finding patterns. I haven't seen a pattern in a long time.
No,
I think it's so. My observation with that has been obviously Instagram. And if you don't know, for those of you who don't know, Instagram, if you go into your analytics, it used to be depending on which profile you had, if it was like creator, personal, whatever, or business. Personal didn't have like metrics. But whatever one, if you have the one that has metrics in it, you can go in there and it shows you when your audience is the most active. And for most people, at least in the US, it still holds true that like the 7 a.m. or like 6 to noon is a good time. The reason being is you're getting a lot of people waking up, commuting to work on trains, whatever. Like that's when they're most active on social media. And it's not necessarily one time zone. Because keep in mind, like Justin and I are on the East Coast. I post at 9 a.m. I'm getting the 9 a.m. crowd 3-4 times throughout the country every hour. Like people are waking up, they're commuting, whatever. So we have potentially more eyeballs on it.
My
and that's
best
what
part of waking up
is going Petri's back to
in
sleep.
My yeah. Okay.
But like, so to go on to Justin's point is it or whatever. It used to be, I think, a lot more about if you got an initial wave of people watching, that video is going to do well.
Yeah, because that, then it would kind of lift it up.
That in the last year has kind of not been true. It's been, you have a video, it might do good, it might do bad, whatever. You don't know how that video does until the next day or the day after. Because if you see that suddenly that video is at 10K, 2 days later, you're like, okay, what's happening here? And like 3 days later, 128, like, okay. But the first 3 hours, it was at sub 1,000.
Yeah.
So what happened? So like, you know, Instagram seems to be, Daniel.
Sorry. Okay. I was looking.
No, but that's the thing. It all kind of changes. So what I'm going to tell you is not the correct answer as far as metrics go. It's the answer that Dan, Justin, and myself are all giving you is post it when it's convenient. This stuff is way too damn stressful.
Yeah.
For you to still to go into the metrics and then focus on whatever. You know, most of us don't have the freaking time. Patrick, you're running a business as well. Don't go nuts. Post when you have time. If you don't have time that day, it's okay.
I used to stress out so much about what I was posting, and I just
dailies. If I didn't post daily, I would just shut down mentally for the rest of the day.
So that's a really good point. So I was posting every single, I went through a period where I was posting every day at the same time for almost 3 months straight. And the last month I've been posting pretty much every other day and I've seen no difference in the amount of views I get. I don't like the daily stuff. It hasn't been working for me.
Yeah. I used to do daily,
a
couple years ago. But now it's just kind of, like I said, whenever I have it. So I haven't posted anything for the last 2 days. And then just today, 3 posts. So it's a crapshoot. Nobody knows.
You never know. Yeah. Do what feels right inside.
Actually, I post more when I'm on vacation because I save up content.
Yeah, that's a great point. I go through my backlog.
Yep.
Yeah.
People was like, I thought you were on vacation this week. How come you're posting? I'm like, because I just scheduled it. I'm not there.
Yeah. Props to anyone that schedules their post. Props to anyone that goes.
I don't think I've ever used that schedule feature.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Well, the thing is, on every platform, you're using different audio and whatever. And like, if all of us were using like, what's the Audacity? Epidemic Sounds or something, or IO, something Artlist.io. A couple of those. Like, there's a couple of them. If we're using that, you can use those scheduling applications that does like all the platforms. But guys, don't kill yourselves.
Yeah.
Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Don't kill yourself with posting at a perfect time. And speaking of enjoying the ride, Kimani.
Hey guys, it's Kimani. Hope you're having a good week. Before I get into my question, I just wanted to say this week I've gained a new level of respect and appreciation for the AWP crew when I heard that you guys had granted Justin's Make-A-Wish and had him on the show. That was so nice of you guys. He doesn't have a lot of free time left, and you'd think that he'd probably ship things faster, but, you know, priorities. Anyway, that was really nice of you guys. Now on to my question. Justin, you recently just produced and shipped out some brass and silver cutting board feet. And I know there's a lot of people who listen to this show who make things. So can you give like a rough outline of kind of how you went from concept to physical product for people who may be looking into, you know, trying to make their own thing on a larger scale? Thanks. Bye.
Justin, great question that I was going to ask you earlier.
Yeah, I know, right?
Since this is 100% his Make-A-Wish thing.
Since Kimani decided to perform a personal attack on me, I feel the need to defend myself. And I have a...
Please do.
I bought it in 2020, a 17-inch ring light that I've never used. It's still in the box, brand new, in the packaging. And I asked Kimani, I was like, hey, do you want this? And he goes, sure. I paid $50 for it. And I've been sitting on shipping it out now for like 3 months. And I finally went down to like my little shipping area and I waited and I put it in a box and I was about to buy a label. And the label was $53 to ship it to Kimani because he lives in the middle of nowhere up in the left coast of the country. And I sent him the picture. The wrong coast. And yeah. I said, Kimani, do you really want me to ship you a $58 ring light for $53 in shipping? And he goes, no. It's okay. I'll come get it from you.
Coward.
Yeah, I know.
Coward.
So I'm still going to give it to him when I see him at Maker Camp. He can have it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It would be funny if you forgot it.
I'll make him fly with it.
Make him ship it back to himself. There you go.
Yeah.
Fly with it or ship it back to yourself. Come on.
So, cutting board feet.
But talk about the cutting board. Yeah, because you did a lot of... You worked with actual like company and designed your own cutting board feet.
I did. So this is an idea that I was sitting on for over a year. I went online and I was looking for an alternative to the silicone feet. I think everyone buys their cutting board feet from the same guy on eBay that's been making those silicone cutting board feet. No?
Home Depot.
I don't. I get mine from Menards.
Okay, never mind. So I'm the only person who buys them from this guy that makes them. Anyway, I was looking for an alternative. There is nothing out there that's an alternative to like the silicone feet that you can buy pretty much anywhere. So I started doing some research and I was just looking for like any kind of like leveling feet or furniture feet or something made out of like a precious metal or a brass or a steel or whatever it was. Couldn't find anything. And the deeper I dug onto the internet, I found these, they're feet for turntables, they're isolation feet for turntables. And if you look up isolation feet for turntables, you'll know exactly where I got my design idea from because I found one that looked perfect. But I have one in a packaging here. You guys here can see it. The podcast folks can't see it, but
you should watch the YouTube video.
Oh yeah, they can watch the YouTube video. And you'll see what I'm holding up right now. This is an iodized aluminum. What is it when they? It's a coated aluminum.
Contingent. It's a contingent.
It's a contingent aluminum.
Brass aluminum.
It's coated to look like brass, but it's not. It's this chintzy aluminum crap. And I bought a bunch of them, and I was going to put them on my cutting board feet, and I wasn't happy with them. So I'm like, all right, let me see if I can do my own thing. So I spent a couple of days on Fusion doing something that I thought would like work for me. I designed a cutting board foot that has the channel in it for the silicone and all this other stuff on it. And I worked... I'm about to reveal my secret here. I submitted an RFQ request on Alibaba. And this is like you submit your plans, you send your files, all your plans, all your requirements for like the materials and the finish and all this stuff. And then manufacturers all over the world bid on it. and you can request samples, and you work with a manufacturer overseas to get like the one you want. So I ordered, I believe I ordered 5 samples from 5 different manufacturers. So this is over the course of the last 7 months. I've been going back and forth with all these different manufacturers, and I finally found one that like actually gave me what I wanted. The tolerances are okay. The finish is exactly what I wanted. There's no scratches. Everything is perfect. So I decided to go with this manufacturer for making these. And so I'm on my 3rd reorder now. Right now they're sold out. I've sold quite a few of them, of these solid.
I got a pair of the brass a set of the brass ones, and they are fantastic.
You definitely do have a set of brass ones.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean.
So the solid 385 brass cutting board feet. They're 1.5 inches in diameter, and then
and they're hefty.
Yeah,
they're really nice.
They're really brass. You can tell they're not aluminum. They're what brass. You put
on like a $200 plus cutting
easily.
Like, yeah.
I got the stainless steel ones in 2 weeks ago, and these have been selling like hotcakes. So now I have 1.5 inches in brass, 1.5 inches in stainless steel, and you're going to hear it now. You're going to hear it here now, folks. A few people know this. I have a 1-inch version on the way, should be landed in the next 2 weeks, and I will have both stainless steel and brass in 1.5 inch and 1 inch.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe you should talk to Jonathan Katz-Moses.
Yeah.
About distribution. I think you should.
Yes. Sourcing the silicone ring, that was actually the hardest part. Finding
really?
Because these are made here in the US, the silicone things, and finding a manufacturer that has like this material in this size and then making sure the tolerances are okay, that was a bit of an adventure.
Interesting.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you, man.
I'm a little mad at you guys from the last show because I have a whole slew of ideas lined up, and a couple of them were mentioned last week, so... We'll talk offline.
Were they?
Now that I have a brass supplier and a brass manufacturer, there's a bunch of things I can make in brass.
This guy with his brass.
Okay. I didn't know what you were talking about, but now I know what you're talking about.
Dan, yeah. if you want to talk, you should, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about like bow ties and if Mike has anything to say about it, what are they called? Barbells.
The barbells, yeah.
Barbells.
Dumbbells.
I don't think it's cost effective to try and machine them here.
I thought it'd be fun to try. I don't think it's going to be cost effective because all the brass that I could find is crazy expensive. I'd have to charge like $150 for one of my normal packages of bow ties, and I don't know. I don't know if they'd sell.
That cutting board, that giant butcher block cutting board that I posted a couple of weeks ago with the brass strap that goes all around the outside.
That was super cool.
That piece of brass cost me $200.
Yeah, brass is not cheap.
Yeah. All right, thanks for that answer. We got Braden next. You guys ready?
Yes.
Or should we wait a little longer?
No waiting.
Okay, awkward pause. Awkward pause.
What's going on, guys? It is Braden with the LB Dubs. My question this week for Justin is, buddy, I just have to know, how thick is too thick for a butcher block cutting board? Hope you guys have a great podcast and a great night. See ya.
Velma thick. I'm gonna take his answer.
I concur.
Two Velmas. Yeah.
Two Velmas. Two Velmas thick is the limit.
Well,
one standard deviation of Velma away from the middle.
To anyone that's confused by the question, you just made a brass wrapped, a giant end grain butcher block cutting board.
How thick was that thing? Like four inches?
Four inches? 4.25, really.
4.25 inches thick.
Seems excessive.
With a groove cut into the entire center of it, like a belt of brass holding it all together.
Yeah,
I mean, it was beautiful. Awesome. Don't get me wrong.
No one's ever going to buy it. It's going to sit in my basement forever.
That just a spec piece? You're hoping somebody will buy it? I thought maybe that was a commission.
That was a I'm bored in the shop and let me try and do something ridiculous piece.
Well, I'm actually going to name drop here. I forgot to mention this in my questions earlier. I mean, if anyone's going to buy it, it's going to be Babish. Can you talk about that for like a second?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Justin. Can you describe who that is and why it's a big deal?
I mean, it's not a huge deal, and I'm not one for name dropping very often. So
please do.
I'll give you short background. Those of you who watch a lot of YouTube, there's a YouTube person that does a lot of cooking shows, Binging with Babish. Him and I have been friends for some time, and he's actually one of the biggest reasons why I have the follower count that I do, because when I was at like, I was in the chat group, right?
$10 million sub YouTube channel.
Yeah. When I was about 1.5K followers, I was small beans. Went to his house one day with a cutting board, and I was like, hey, check this out. Like, I'm making these now. And he grabbed it, took a picture of it, put it up on his Instagram, and I had 6,000 followers within 15 minutes. And my, my account absolutely blew up.
Wow, that's awesome.
So yeah,
definitely give that thing to that guy.
That board might end up in his house one day. We'll see.
Yeah, I would just give it to him and be like, I can make this for you.
If anyone is going to do it, it's going to be Babish.
Heck yeah. So,
that's pretty cool. That's awesome that you got like you, and you've known this guy before he was even like remotely famous.
Yeah, since college. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really cool. Hey, goes to show you never know who you're going to be friends with. All right, we've got another good. Good question, Braden. Last one is from Adam of the infamous West Virginia Barnetts.
Hey, guys. Adam here from Barnett Builds. Crazy, I've never owned a pin nailer, and I'm pretty interested in getting one. I think it would be easy for making, like, little shop build furniture and French cleat wall things and whatever. But I never really looked into them and researched them much. Is there really a difference between a brad nailer and a pin nailer? Is it just the gauge? But yeah, what should I be looking for? Should I be looking for, one that hooks up to the air compressor, or should I be looking one battery powered? Are they worth it? You know, give me some insight. Let me know what I should be after here.
Dan?
The main difference between a brad nailer and a pin nailer is a brad nailer is the nail itself is still going to have a little head on it. And usually they're a thicker gauge.
16 or 18 usually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a pin nailer is going to leave a much smaller hole, and they don't have a head, which allows them to leave a much smaller hole. And then it's going to be a much thinner gauge, like 23. I think I have a 23 gauge pin nailer.
23 is the standard, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as like, what type? Man, do not get a pneumatic pin nailer.
No, those are compressor. So they're like all air, but like no compressor one.
Yeah, those are so like 19th century, 20th century. Well, we're in the 21st century. It's anyway, late 1900s.
Half century.
I feel so attacked right now.
Good. You should. Because pneumatic nailers are dumb.
What are you trying to prove? Pneumatic nailer. You're not a framer. Get out of here.
You know, we rag on Ryobi all the time here, but you know what? Their nailers are fantastic. I have the brad nailer and the pin nailer from Ryobi. Those are my only Ryobi tools in the whole shop, and they are fantastic. They're half the price of my beloved Milwaukee, and I stand behind them. They're great.
Justin?
I have a Harbor Freight $17 pneumatic pin nailer, and it has never done me wrong. I love it. And I don't take care of it at all. My compressor in my shop is on 24/7. I've never emptied it. I've never released the pressure. It's just
I should drain the water out of it.
Yeah, it's probably probably full of water.
I was shooketh with how much was in there.
Once in a while. I mean, maybe every 6 months I'll drain the water.
I feel like Justin's pin nailer is probably lubed with water. That's a bad idea.
I keep my PSI at about 100, even though the pin nailer says 40. I don't care, and I abuse the crap out of it, and it doesn't leave much of a mark.
Shooting straight through the board.
Good lord!
I love it. I love that thing. It was $17. Mm-hmm. I don't know, how can you beat that deal?
Yeah, I mean,
if it's worth nailers it, you for can't free beat before, it, I guess.
So. I'll use it until it dies, and then I'll probably just buy another one.
So. I'm going to answer now because nobody threw it to me. I own a pin nailer. I have a set of Porter Cable because I, at one point, inherited through a bulk tool Isn't purchase.
Porter the, Cable the Harbor Freight?
No.
No?
Okay. It's Porter Cable.
It's a little step above.
That's actually Harbor Freight. I think it's much gooder. Porter Cable, this is like 10, 15 year old Porter Cable, which like back in the day, they were like the Cadillac of routers. Their pin, their
I'll give you that on the router.
Yeah, their nailers were great. Their pancake compressor is the loudest thing on a planet.
Loud some.
It's so terrible. It's louder than Dan's neighbor's car. So I got the bulk purchase of like the three. I did the three nailers and then the pancake compressor. I sold the pancake compressor. I kept the nailers. I have maybe fired one of them a couple of times. I use my Ryobi Brad nailer, battery powered, for pretty much anything. One thing that I use it the most on, aside from like just, you know, quickly tapping things
CNC
in.
CNC hold down.
CNC hold down. Because you know what? A bit hitting that nail.
Yeah.
It's a little spooky for a second. It could maybe chip it. But honestly, my CNC has hit one of those nails probably half a dozen times. That's six for those of you in New Jersey.
Oh.
So, no, but like I've definitely hit the nails by accident because, you know, sometimes you shoot it into something dead straight. What I have this technique of I'll have the bit boop the workpiece in spots where I know 100% no bit will come near. And then I'll just Brad nail it in. But sometimes if it's a hardwood, the grain just does its own thing. And instead of going straight down, it'll like curve to the left or something. Or sometimes it'll loop in a U and you're like, how did this even happen? What did you
hit?
So I'll Brad nail it in. And occasionally I'll just hear, what was that? So, you know, you pucker, you hear that. But it cuts fine and the nail's gone and it's not the worst thing out there.
I have a question about that because I've pin nailed some stuff down to my spoil board a couple mm-hmm. of times, and I'll do the cut and I'll pull the piece up, and then now there's like six pin nails stuck in my wasteboard that I could spend hours with a pair of pliers pulling out, and they just snap. They just snap every time.
I just leave them there. I don't even take them out.
Here's the thing. That's where the Brad nail works better. Because when you pull up those spare pieces, that little head on there is keeping it in place. And you're pulling it out, and off the time you're not
breaking
it.
The little head makes all the difference.
Little head. All about getting little head stuck on the top. Yeah, but no, but it's, I know we're making jokes, but seriously, that little bit is going to make a huge difference. And I'm a huge fan of that. I think don't go corded because a lot of times most of us don't have a compressor that's charged and on all the time in their shop.
Pours.
Yeah, if you're just using it for your CNC and, you know, nilly willy, you don't want to have to deal with the hose.
Yeah, you can fill it in later, and the Brad nail hole is not too bad. So I recommend like a Ryobi one. The DeWalt one is pretty good too.
I do have that. I do have the Ryobi Brad nailer. It's been at my parents' house for.
It literally, it hangs, there's like a...
I have one.
I hang it on my, like where it rests all day is hanging off my CNC.
Well, there's like a clip for it. They give you that clip because they expect you to hang it off your work belt, but...
that's not going to happen.
it weighs like 40 pounds.
Yeah, it's a
hefty I would tell you this, if I worked at a job site, I would probably paint that thing just so people didn't know what it was. But let me say this. If you have a dedicated battery platform already, you can get an adapter for that thing.
Yeah.
I got an adapter so I can use my Milwaukee batteries.
Really? For your Ryobi nailer?
Yeah, you can.
Interesting.
I have Ryobi batteries for it, but you can buy... I bought a Ryobi adapter just to get me by. So... It still comes in handy.
Does the Milwaukee battery make you feel like more of a man?
It helps a little bit.
Yeah, it helps a little bit.
Is that
have you
the same
guys,
reason I got a big truck? It helps me feel
Have you guys ever used a fuel, like a gas nailer before?
Gas nailer?
No.
So there before like batteries were able to like handle nailers.
That just seems dangerous.
Portable technology was you literally had like a fuel tank. That you put into the nailer. It still has a big piston, like it would whatever, but like it literally was like
my nailer has a V8.
Like are you talking about like a sealed like a paintball container?
Like no. It was like it was a small, like think of like a Poland Spring bottle, but thinner. It would go into the body of it. So if you were using it it's used on most oftentimes it's used in open air situations get in somewhere where you have like
butane.
It literally smells like gasoline. So that's the thing. I was at a job site once and V6 they were using nailer. It. to install a kitchen cabinet, and they're just nailing it in there. I'm like, what smells like somebody got in here with like a lawnmower? Like, it was just literally fumes, like exhaust. It's actual exhaust that's coming out because it's burning like fuel. So it's not just like a clean like gas burn. Like, no. It's like somebody just took a backpack leaf blower and was in your living room.
That's what the world needs.
That sounds terrible.
Two cycle shop tools.
Yeah, but but this is a thing. So
I have seen gas powered like I have seen those giant gas powered circular saws that like loggers use.
Oh yeah.
Scary. Those giant like 20-inch circular saws. I've seen those, but
I want
a nailer.
I want a 350cc planer is what I really want.
You can ride it to the grocery store and plane your wood.
Yeah, you know,
that sounds like a moped. Jointer
planer combo by Husqvarna.
Who are you? It's
Husqvarna.
We use steel here.
The Z steel? Is silent.
Steel or steel?
Steel.
That's steel, right?
Sheets.
Okay. All right. Continue.
All right. Next question is from, thanks for joining us, guys. This is a great show.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Man.
The, yeah, we had Patrick, Kamani, Brayden,
yeah, well, there, I thought
Adam
four.
Got of our, the got Nets.
Him. Wasn't there a fourth one? No.
Adam Barnett?
That was fourth. Adam was four.
Wow. He was looking for Brad.
You're forgetting about Brayden. That's fine.
How's the turntables?
Time flies. Wait,
we played Brayden, yeah. He's asking about how thick is too thick, and we said Velma.
How many Velmas are we talking about?
Zoink Scoob.
Two or three. But we're talking.
I can handle two Velmas. I think three is.
We're talking fan art Velma, though, not original Velma.
Once again, I find myself explaining. There is a cult following behind Velma of the Scooby Gang, and how she is the most.
She is.
She just is. It's not about Daphne. It's all about the Velmas, ladies.
Guys. All right.
I'm so proud I married a Velma and not a Daphne.
I married a Velma. And with that, we want to thank everybody for joining us this week. Be sure to share the show and tell everybody about it. And thank you to Justin for joining us. We really appreciate it.
I was forced to be here.
Once again, thank you to our patrons as well. You guys are the best. How was that for an outro? I just took it over.
Dan, that was freaking awesome. Beautiful. I was about to applaud you at the end of it. That was great.
Beautiful.
Dan, I appreciate you. And Justin, thank you for joining. I really appreciate it, man.
Show just title. Two Velmas thick.
I'll write it down. Can't guarantee anything. Anyway, we'll catch y'all next week.
Catch y'all next week. Love y'all. Bye, bye, bye,
bye. Bye-bye. Love you long time.
Bye.
I've gained a new level of respect and appreciation for the AWP crew when I heard that you guys had granted Justin's Make-A-Wish and had him on the show.